bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air at Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM and WCOJ 1420 AM. We have a great show for you today, and first and foremost, I want to wish you all a happy Easter, and I pray that Easter Sunday, God has blessed you and your family and your children with great peace and great love, great joy, and we just pray that He will continue to lift you up and to guide you and direct you through His Holy Spirit. And so, I want to thank you again for tuning in with us today. It is a beautiful Friday, and we have, again, a nice show for you today. But before we begin, we want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back on the air once again, and Frank for producing our show. This show is dedicated to our Lord Jesus and our Blessed Mother Mary, and this is a special show in which we are going to recap a little bit of the progress we've been making in the WINGS program, a reentry program, recovery program, heavily involved with inmate reentry in the Philadelphia prison system. We're also going to talk a little bit about the temptation of Jesus and the work that our Lord did, the testing of God's Son in preparation for the death and resurrection of Jesus himself. We'll be talking about that in a big way. So as we begin our show, I'd like to just say welcome back once again to Finding God in Prison. It's always nice to be back on the air. I want to also say congratulations to Dale and Jane and Frank for our 20th year here at Holy Spirit Radio. It is a powerful anniversary year, and they have done tremendous work through the radio waves, both at WISP and WCOJ. And that is really the Holy Spirit working through good people who are open to doing what God says to do and what He says not to do. It's very powerful. And through WISP and WCOJ, we've been preparing to educate, motivate listeners for 20 years. Trying to fill hearts and change minds. And it's been a blessing to be here myself on the air since the year 2001, and as where I came on as a guest, and actually came on as a guest, I believe earlier than that, with Bill Miller in Voices for the Unborn. So again, I want to say congratulations, and I wish you another wonderful 20 years here at Holy Spirit Radio for the good work that you're doing. May God bless you, and may He continue to guide and direct you and direct our listeners to supporting us financially, as this is a beautiful apostolate and affiliate station with EWTN, and we just thank God for the opportunity to be here today. So right now, we're working in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons, and we've been doing quite well. We have a class of 25 to 30 men, and we are through session 8, which is heavily focused on work. And between myself and my partner, Bill, who's a new facilitator with us, God has blessed us with the ability to help to guide and direct back into the work field a lot of our men who are habit patterned truly for doing things they should not be doing. And that's one of the great joys we have in the WINGS programs, to get men to make changes. And so taking people who were robbing and running for 20 years, or selling drugs, for doing burglaries, home invasions, petty theft. We have a guy with over 60 arrests for petty theft over 20 years. And so this is, you know, a habit pattern that we need to, you know, put to a halt and to replace it with work on the books. And so I want to just reach out to my friend Bill, who's out there, our facilitator, who's done a great job at bringing, you know, the importance of having a resume that's been created for the second chance employers out there. Also for the motivation that he provides for the men in terms of finding work, even when you haven't worked in years, you know, and the Lord has blessed him to give him the opportunity to join us in the Wings program. So again, we're through session 8. We have another 12 sessions to go before graduation, and we've been doing quite well. We've had more than 68 graduating classes in the Wings program only in the last 8 years in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. But, you know, this is our 26th year. And actually this week, just today, May 3rd, 2019, we celebrate our the beginning of our 19th year in the Wings program, in my father's vineyard, I should say. And the Wings program is actually in its 26th year. And remember, that program began at Olney Elementary School. We went to more than 100 schools, 8 prisons. And so it's been a blessing and a privilege to be there to provide mentorship for our men who are incarcerated. And we have had only in the last 8 years close to 1,600 men come out with an 80% success rate. So we're doing quite well, and God has blessed us with the grace of God to continue to do the good work that we have been doing. And without the grace of God, truly, we would not even be inspired to go into these areas, which are sometimes abrasive, sometimes are difficult to go into. But we've been very, very blessed. And so with that, the Lord changes the most abrasive into a very comfortable environment, where we can go in and bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And so we've had many men who've come through the program. And one of the things we have are writing assignments to get to know the men. We have to, you know, really, truly work with them in the classroom environment. And as we work with them in the classroom environment, they engage in writing assignments. Here's one of the assignments for last week that the men had to answer. What is the most vulnerable area or your greatest weakness that you must overcome? And here's the answer from one of our men. My most vulnerable area is going home and fully reaching my full potential as far as my relation with my children go. But basically, I must continue to refrain from drug addiction as well as criminal thinking and the criminal activity. So, you know, the habit pattern that he has is to engage in criminal activity on the streets and trying to make money doing things that you and I normally would never do. And of course, the consequences for doing things such as stealing or burglaries, home invasions, petty theft, robbing and running are going to be incarceration. So one of the goals for us is to get them to create an action plan for the judge and for themselves, which we review, edit, and perfect in preparation for the first 7 days when they come home. The first 30 days are very important, and to get them to re-engage in work. And so here's another writing assignment. Who do you trust today and why? And his answer is, I only trust in God because he will never let you down. Have you ever broken the trust, and how did it make you feel? I let my baby sister and my daughter fight broke it up, but now neither one will talk to me. My daughter gets smart with her aunt, so I let it go, but a kid looks for their father to protect them. So I think I might have broken a little trust with my daughter by letting them fight in the first place, and I feel guilty about that. Here's another writing assignment from Carl. This is a one-year plan, and in the Wings program, we're focusing on, you know, where they will be in 1 year from today. And this is my plan for the first year after being released from jail. The very first thing I am going to do is to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I plan to stay with a family member for 2 to 6 months, depending on how fast I can find employment and save for an apartment. I will also start the process of getting custody of my daughter, also finding a church home for my family and spending as much quality time with them as I can. And so in a one-year plan, and this gentleman is going to re-engage in family life, and he's going to be looking for a family member to live with for 2 to 6 months. And this is important because if you're going to apply for custody for your children, you need to have stability and credibility. And that's so important with the judge. The judge will be asking these men, you know, where do you live? Where do you work? How long have you worked there? How much money do you make? How can you take care of a child if you're not working? And so we're not talking about doing favors on the street or working off the books. We're talking about legitimate work. And that's the only way you'll get your custody of your children back, is to build that credibility for the judge. And when he believes in you, then maybe he'll grant that custody to you. And it's so important. So we're always working on the stability and credibility of our men. And this is key, not only for the custody of children, but with the DMV, okay, in terms of getting your suspension lifted or your license, which has been suspended, back in your hands. Also, we're looking for credibility with the banks to get car loans and home loans and business loans. So working on the books, getting paychecks, you know, is so important. And that's part of the guidance and directions that we're giving to our men to get them to make, you know, literally changes in their lives, which is so important. The Wings program is a life-building program, and we're always trying to help them to rebuild. The men that we get have lost everything. Normally, they've lost their homes, their cars, their bank accounts. They've lost jobs, and they've lost the support of many family members and friends. So when they've lost most everything, that's when we come and truly create an action plan from scratch and putting in all the things that we need to succeed in reentry, which is so important. And here's another writing assignment. What do I want people to say about me in 30 years if I were to die in 30 years? And his answer is that I was a follower of Christ and a leader of men. What a great answer, okay? And, you know, the reason we go through this in session four is because a lot of men believe that they have forever to make changes. They have forever to get their lives in order, and that's just not true. Each and every year, people pass away, friends, family members, and Wings members. We've had close to, you know, 11 people pass on in the last 8 years in a Wings program, mostly due to overdose of methamphetamine or heroin. But every year people pass on. So the message there is that we don't have forever. And we challenge the men by asking the question, what will people say about you if you were to die today? If your time came today and there was a funeral tomorrow, what would people say about you? And then the second question is, what would I want people to say about me, the kind of person I was, if I died 30 to 40 years from now? And that is the most important question, because it's then that we identify the legacy that you want to leave, who you really were, and what you meant to other people, and basically start working on good things. And so if you want to be remembered for being a good father, a great provider, then you have to start providing in the 168, which is the total amount of time in a week. In a seven-day week, we have 24 hours a day, seven days a week. The 168 is where we actually do our planning, and we live in the 168. So if I want to be remembered for being a great community servant, I've got to be out there serving the community. We can't just talk a great game about being a great dad or serving the community or being a loyal employee. We've got to actually do it week in and week out for years. And that's how you become, you know, remembered, even honored by other people, both family and friends, coworkers, because you actually lived it out. And so with that, you know, this gentleman said that he would like to be a follower of Christ and leader of men. And this is important because in the Word of God, you know, the Lord says, you know, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, did I not do mighty deeds for you? Did I not cast out demons for you? Yes, you did, but I declare to you solemnly that I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. So even if you're doing mighty deeds, if you didn't do the will of God, which is what God says to do and not to do, and the commandments and way beyond it, then we may not get into heaven. And the Lord tells us this. He's very clear. So for this man, he said, in 30 years, I would like to be remembered as being a follower of Christ and a leader of men. So how do you do it? Well, in the 168, you've got to have Jesus in your life. You've got to do what he says to do and continue to follow in that path every day, not 6 days a week, but 7 days a week. And as far as being a leader of men, you know, leadership comes in many different areas. But it's very, very critical that you are stable, credible, and a role model. And usually when you're a role model for the people, they will follow you. Men will follow you, just like the apostles followed the Lord, okay? And they became leaders, every one of them. And, you know, like St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, a follower of Christ, St. Peter, all of the apostles out there who wrote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who became leaders in the Word of God, putting it out there on the front lines. And all of them were martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Word, for the cause, for the faith. For the mission of the gospel. And so, my friends, this is why we do the Wings program, to get into the hearts and minds of other people. And you can see that this man has a great goal to be remembered for being a follower of Christ and a leader of men. And so, again, my friends, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. It's once again a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you today. And, you know, as we continue our show, I want to just remind our listeners that this is the month of May, the month of our Blessed Mother. Truly, Mother's Day is coming up. We just left the Easter week, and we're actually into, you know, a beautiful season now where we're celebrating the blessings that come from the resurrection of our Lord. It's very powerful. And with that, I want to ask you a question. and pose something to you. This is the year 2019, and this year is based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So powerful an event that world time is rooted in this most miraculous and historical occurrence. And we just celebrated Easter, Resurrection Day, and world time is based on that day. What a beautiful time to say thank you to our Lord for doing what he did for mankind, and to thank our Father for the blessings of our Lord, who gave his full life, who took the greatest beating in the history of the world, and he did it for you and for me. He did it for us. He did it for our future, so that we can have eternal life, so we can have salvation. It's powerful. And with that, I want to read with you a writing that I have about gratitude. And this is important, because very often people don't say thank you enough and acknowledge God enough. And so here it is. Say thank you until you mean it. Thank God, life, and the universe for everyone and everything sent your way today. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. It turns problems into gifts, failures into successes, the unexpected into perfect timing. And gratitude will turn mistakes into important events. It can turn an existence into a real life, and disconnected situations into important and beneficial lessons. Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. Gratitude very often makes things right. Gratitude turns negative energy into positive energy. There is no situation or circumstance so small or large that it's not susceptible to gratitude's power. We can start with who we are and what we have today, apply gratitude, and then let it work its magic. Say thank you until you mean it. If you say it long enough, you will believe it. Today, I will shine the transforming light of gratitude on all circumstances of my life. And I give that to you, my friends, as a starting point to make the change from an ungrateful attitude to one of gratitude, which is so important. The cup is not half empty, but it's half full. You know, many years ago, we had a woman in our program who lost her arm to a methamphetamine miss. She had been addicted to methamphetamine and put a needle in her arm and missed a vein. She had an infection, which led to gangrene, and her arm was amputated. But she still had the other arm. And when she got healthy enough, she went back to the same friends with the same attitude. And she said to her friends, "Here, now put the needle in this arm." And I tell you that honestly, that she had no wisdom at the time until she got her mind right, until she got her faith right, and seen that, you know, she has an arm and two legs, and she's healthy enough mentally now, physically, spiritually, to go on with life. And that woman had lost her son also at 31. He was 31 when he died of an overdose of methamphetamine. And I tell you that, my friends, because today she has gratitude towards God. Because can you imagine living without arms? And today she has one arm. And it's not easy, but she has a lot of gratitude because she still has that. And I want to offer this again to you because we should be more grateful for the things that we have, more content, more peaceful, more generous, more understanding, more patient. Gratitude is something that, you know, we need to have more of in the world today, to be thankful for what we have. Very often I run into people who have so much in assets, but are lacking the peace of God. And so they have that void, that hole in their heart. They're always looking for something more. They want something more to buy, some other place to go. But truly, when you have the peace of God, it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to have that, you know, that gratitude with God, for God, because he's given you the peace that only he can bring, which is so important. Many years ago, when we started working on death row up at Greaterford Prison, and my first visit, I realized that I had a lot of peace in my visitation. The same peace I had there, I had at my kitchen table while having dinner with the family. Because the peace of God will bring you contentment. It will bring you, you know, the ability to be the same no matter where you go. And that was so important. And God revealed that to me. He gave that blessing to me, that insight, that wisdom, that it doesn't matter where you are, where you go, you're going to have the peace of God. And that will get you through today. It will take you into what we call uncomfortable areas. And with that, you know, God will bless you with other things. And so the gratitude that we're talking about today is important, my friends. If you need to give more gratitude to your children, then do it. And like the poem said, you know, mean it, okay? And really mean it. A lot of people talk a great game. Lip service, you know, is so easy to get. But God knows that actions speak louder than words. So please, when you are thankful, you know, really mean it and show it. Go the extra mile for other people, your parents, your children, your wife. St. Paul says, husband, care for your wife as you care for your own body. So important. And this is it. You know, we want to really, you know, go the extra mile for our wives. This is the month in which Mother's Day is placed. You know, make this a great month for your wives who have given birth to your children. Go the extra mile. Don't hold back. And I'm not talking about just writing checks or going to a store and buying things for that one single day. I'm talking about creating a culture of gratitude towards your wives, making it something special again. And, you know, what goes around comes around. You know, if we make our wives' lives easier and it's a day-to-day culture that we're living in, very often it's going to come back to you tenfold and they're going to make your day beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And God said, you know, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. St. Paul says, husband, care for your wife as you care for your own body. You know, this is the important thing we need to recreate once again very often because we get burned out in relationships due to overwork, you know, too many sports, hobbies, too much running around for children's games and sports and activities. Got to take a time and kick back and regroup and nourish our marriages once again. And if that's you out there listening, then my friend, do it today. Start today. Make some plans to make it a great month for your family and create that real stability and credibility in family life. If you want to be remembered for being a great dad or a great husband, you got to put some skin in the game. Week in and week out, we've got to be there at the dinner table. When your wife is maxed out, bring dinner home or take her out. Don't expect her to do everything. Do what you can, okay? And so give 100%. I have many friends of mine who've lost their wives to breast cancer and brain cancer and pancreatic cancer, and at different ages, from 40, 50, 57. You know, nobody knows the future, but do what you can. I want to read this to you, and now it's another writing before we go into the temptation of Jesus. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all my heart, all their minds, and all of their strength. I will teach them to honor authority and to live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive others who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to the church, obey his word, and do his will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life for his glory. And from Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a powerful writing, my friends, and as we just come through and are in the Easter season, giving thanks to God for the blessing of our Lord, we want to once again take full responsibility for ourselves, our wives, our children, and to do whatever we can to make this a better world, to give 100%. My friends, I want to take a moment now to recognize again you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio. This is Finding God in Prison. And my name is Joe Montone, your host. It is a beautiful day. And again, we're here at 1420 AM WCOJ and 1570 AM WISP. And I hope that the first half of our program touched you in some way and that you found it very educational and that you're listening because you're really interested in our program. And if you need some help, my friends, if you have people in your life who are incarcerated or who are addicted and have struggling with, a recovery or recidivism, please, give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio, and I will contact you and try to provide you with some assistance in the Wings program. And our number here is 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And I want to thank you again for listening. Okay, we're going to go into the second half of our program and talk a little bit about the temptation of Jesus, the testing of God's Son, which truly was so profound leading up to the actual death and resurrection of our Lord. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this. When God wants to do something really great, truly spectacular, something absolutely wonderful, who is the one person in the world who will try to stop him? That's right. It's going to be Satan, also known as the devil. We don't have to think about it for very long to come up with the answer, do we? The father of all lies, the source of all evil, is Satan. And he's been in the world for a long, long time, thousands of years. My friends, today's focus is on the temptation of Jesus. an essential part of God's divine plan for humanity. And as we analyze the Gospel of Matthew, we see that the devil tries three times to take the Lord down. He tries multiple times to get Jesus to give in to him. He tries three times to entice the Lord at his weakest moment. And remember, the devil, also known as Satan, doesn't want the Father's plan for salvation to succeed. He will do anything, say anything, and try anything to get Jesus to fail. Jesus has prayed for 40 days and 40 nights to strengthen himself and to prepare himself for the work he had ahead of him. In his first attempt, the devil works on the human side of Jesus, who hasn't consumed any food for 40 days. So he says to the Lord, "If you are the Son of God, then change these stones into loaves of bread." Imagine, if we didn't eat for 4 days, let alone 40 days, how would we feel? We're only human. We would do almost anything for a piece of bread. And if the bread was warmed up with melted butter on it, we would give in even sooner. But because the Lord has both a human nature and a divine nature, it's the divine nature that fends off temptation. And that incredible need that Matthew refers to as hunger. Jesus' response is rooted in the Word of God. And it's clear that he won't compromise the Father's plan for salvation. It is the mission, and he will carry it out. Jesus will complete the task and finish the job. For it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. My brothers and sisters, how many of us are engaged in God's word today? How many of us are able to draw on God's word and rely on it to reject temptation? Think about it. Practically speaking, if we are to live by God's word, then we must read it, understand it, and apply it to everyday life. This is a great challenge for all of us. But my friends, the devil is still around, and temptation is either coming to your home, is at your home, or has just left your home. So we must be prepared for that moment. In his second attempt, the devil takes the Lord up on top of a high mountain wall in a temple within a holy city and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Again, imagine the devil trying to get under the skin of Jesus with the words, "If you are the Son of God." He mentions this in his first attempt as well, and we'll hear it again in a later passage when Jesus is up on the cross. The chief priest will say, "Let him come down from the cross now, and then we will believe in him. For he said he was the Son of God." But Jesus has nothing to prove to anyone except the Father. So he doesn't comply with the devil or the chief priest, because it's not part of the Father's plan for salvation. He must complete the mission as it was designed. Jesus must finish the job. He's a finisher. So once again, the Lord relies on the written word of God for his response. It is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Consider this, my friends. How many times are we tested by family, friends, and co-workers? How many times are we interrupted from the mission or the task at hand? The mission of being a loving husband, the mission of being a dedicated father, the mission of being a loyal employee, an honest friend, or a true disciple of Christ. How many times have we been tested by others who want us to prove themselves to them? I tell you honestly, my friends, we have nothing to prove to anyone. For if we prove ourselves to God, we will have proven ourselves to everyone. The Lord says, seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. In his third attempt, the devil takes Jesus to a tall mountaintop and reveals to him a glimpse of the kingdoms throughout the world. Then the devil says, all these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me. But Jesus is firm in his faith and in his reliance on the word, the written word of God. And the Lord says, get away, Satan, for it is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. Today, my brothers and sisters, people are worshiping money, power, and prestige, while others are worshiping alcohol, drugs, and sex. And still others worship homes, cars, and material goods. This is all driven by Satan. Again, Jesus says, get away, Satan. So what is it that you need to get away from that which has its roots in Satan? Jesus was strong enough to reject three offers, three invitations from the Father of all lies. We too must find our strength in the written word of God and reject the many temptations that are out there waiting to destroy God's divine plan for us. My friends, let us follow in the footsteps of our Lord and reject Satan. By embracing the written word of God, let us read it, love it, and live it out to the fullest. And my friends, I share that with you, the temptation of Jesus, as a blessing in a post-resurrection time period, because we will be tempted, and God's Son was tested. The testing of our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was very real. And if he was tempted, we know that we will be tempted many, many times. And it's up to you and I to have a strategy for success as we prepare for those temptations. And they come in various forms. Many of the men that we see in the Wings program have been tempted by money. One of the questions we like to ask is, you know, what's the most amount of money that you made in 1 week in selling drugs? And the largest number was $35,000 a week. And that's a draw. That's very, you know, enticing. And this is very, very important, because it's up to us to have a plan to overcome it. And James chapter 1 says this about the values of trials and temptations. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres in temptation. For when he has been proved, he will win the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. No one experiencing temptation should say, I am being tempted by God. But God is not subject to evil, and he himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire conceives and brings forth sin. And when sin reaches maturity, it gives birth to death. What is your most vulnerable area or your greatest weakness, and what must you do to overcome it? You know it's coming down the pike. You know it's coming down because the father of all lies is going to present it to you. We had a guy in our program who had a gambling addiction. He was a contractor, and he took deposits for more than 20 families and never finished the jobs. He would gamble away the deposits and not have enough material money, and he got into great trouble. And so he served a lot of time because of his addiction to gambling. So if you're out there struggling with addiction, I want you to think about this, that the Lord himself, you know, came through the temptations by the devil, and he used the word of God to fight it off. So by engaging, by reading and loving and living out the word of God, we have opportunity to overcome these incredible, difficult, challenging moments when Satan is right there to offer what we have identified as our greatest weakness, our most vulnerable areas. And, you know, what is it that you're struggling with? Power, prestige, money, homes, cars, you know, shopping, sex, alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. We've had people signed into the program who were gone in 1 week, and they just couldn't overcome that addiction to heroin or methamphetamine. So I want you to think about the testing of God's Son as a tremendous lesson for all of us to take with us throughout the year to help us to overcome the struggle. And if you have people in your life who are struggling with addiction or who are struggling with recidivism and keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again, give us a call here at Holy Spirit Radio and we will get you some help. And you know, people in recovery homes are not doing so great, I have to tell you. Nationwide, there's an 83% failure rate. Only 17% of the people who are in recovery actually succeed the first time. People go out of recovery and back into recovery, and out of recovery and back into recovery. It's like a revolving door, and that's because addiction is tough. It requires the word of God into the hearts and minds of the person to get them to make changes, to make great decisions, and to unload the burdens that they carry that may actually cause them to drink or use drugs, which we know can be from loneliness. It can be from just overstressed environment. It could be from depression or sadness. There are many things that cause people to use drugs. And we've had men who have had 8 DUIs, who served 15 years because of alcoholism, gone through 5 windshields in car accidents. So we want the best for you. And to get the best, we offer you the Word of God. The Word of God and the role model for overcoming temptation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other program that's going to do it for you and I, my friends. Whatever it is, we have to fight it off by using the Word of God. That was successful in the desert by the Lord Himself, and that is what we are recommending highly, that we embrace it, we love it, and we live it out. My friends, this is the month of May, and the month of June coming up with Father's Day. And so if you're out there as a mother or a father, and you are struggling with something that's affecting your credibility in the eyes of your children, okay, I want you to think about, you know, your day-to-day input from the Word of God. How much time are you actually engaged in the Word of God, either individually or in groups as a prayer group? Because the kids are watching. And kids don't do what you tell them to do. They're going to do what they see you do. And we have so many examples of that in the Wings program. Kids who grew up, you know, doing things in their homes because their father said, it's okay. As long as you're home with us, you can do it. Referring to drinking beer at age 7. Smoking marijuana by age 10, and drinking cases by age 11, 12 years old. I want you to think about that, my friends, because we're all role models for our children, and we're either positive or negative role models. our job is to become very positive influence on our children. And we have so many children out there who are starving for love. And Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. And let's just talk about that for a second. The second greatest commandment is to love one another. So in your day-to-day, in the 168, Monday to Sunday, 7 days, 24 and 7, how much love are you bringing into your home, into the hearts of your children? How much love are you bringing to your parents? How much love are you bringing to your friends and family? Or are you cold and standoffish? Are you holding back? Have you forgiven the people you need to forgive? Or are you carrying the spirit of bitterness in the day-to-day of life? Jesus gave it all. We just celebrated Resurrection Day, Easter Sunday. He gave it all. And at the top of the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Once again, he's the role model, the great example for us in the area of forgiving other people. And there's no time like today to get started, to create that letter of forgiveness or make a phone call, extend an invitation to someone, and to forgive that person. God will bless you with the peace that only he can give. And you can't buy that peace. If you have an apology to make because you wounded someone, now's the time to make the apology. Once again, we just celebrated Easter Sunday. We have Mother's Day coming up, the month of May, our Blessed Mother Mary. It's powerful. If you need to make amends, do it now. Don't carry that spirit of unforgiveness or carry that hatred for some other person. Make the apology. We had a guy in the program who stole $200 from his mother's pocketbook. It cost him 2 years. His mother wouldn't talk to him for 2 years because of $200. That requires an apology. And in the Wings program, you have to pay that $200 back. And if it's $2,000, you've got to make the apology and you got to pay that back. But guess what? God will bless you. He will bless your work and help you to pay it back. When we're lined up with what God says to do, we're open to what we call the blessings of obedience, coming from Moses himself in the book of Deuteronomy. And the Lord God says this, as your reward for heeding these decrees, you will be blessed. And he says, God will bless you. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb, your children, your grain and wine and oil, the issue of your herds. He will bless you in your homeland where you live. He will bless you, my friends, in your womb. No person will be living in a childless environment. You will be blessed with children. And because we are blessed with children, it's our obligation to become great role models for our kids who truly are longing for role models in family life. There's so many examples of that. And so if you're out there listening, my friends, I want you to think about some of the things we're talking about today. We only have a few minutes left in our program, but I want to just start by reminding you once again that if you have an attitude of gratitude, then keep up the good work. But if you don't, let's you and I make the change and incorporate a more gratitude attitude within our life, within our lifestyle. Let us bring that out. Let us acknowledge God in all things, and to please him in all things. Let us work, you know, in getting rid of the negative habits and putting positive habits into our life. Let us embrace the Word of God and help us to overcome the temptations that we deal with every day, whatever they may be, whatever the future is, we cannot tell. But we know part of it will be temptation to the things that oppose God. Because remember, if God has a plan for something truly great, really spectacular, who's the one person who's going to try to prevent that from happening? And it's going to be Satan. It's going to be the devil. And he's going to work through something that we really enjoy, our most vulnerable area, our greatest weakness. And this is why it's so important for you and I to be engaged and connected to the Word of God and to people who are in that same circle. That circle of influence is so key that we have people around us who are like-minded people, focused and centered on God at the core, where we're not distracted by things and taking us away from godly influences, but they're putting them into our lives. They are guiding us and directing us because God put them into our lives. My friends, we only have a few seconds. I want to thank Dale and Jane for having us back on the air. I want to thank Frank for producing our show. It's an amazing month, the month of Mother's Day and the month of our Blessed Mother Mary, who we love so much. May God bless you and keep you. Have a great day. This is Joe Montone, your host. Thank you very much for joining us.